mercy and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. There are two words that have become rather popular in professional circles in recent years. The two words are burnout. People in business and also people in the church are concerned that their executives and their pastors do not burn out. Now, I didn't do any research to find out what the official psychological definition is for this thing called burnout. But I know that whenever I hear those two words, I automatically think of the television set that we used to have in the bedroom. And after many years of excessive and unrelenting use, one evening the thing started to make a noise and mold, and then it burned out. And I suspect that burnout is very similar to that when it happens in a person. Years and years of excessive and unrelenting work take their toll. And the toll is a very bad one. So the person leaves all joy in life and just for his work. And to those brothers in the clergy who have experienced burnout, we certainly extend our heartfelt prayers and best wishes. What it has also occurred to me in watching this expression burnout, that burnout can serve very admirably as an ecclesiastical badge of merit. One pastor says to the other, "I burned out. I served my congregation so faithfully, although they didn't realize it, that it led to my total extinction. I made thousands of calls. I worked late hours into the night, even staying at church after meetings. And on top of all that, I took summer courses at Concordia Seminary. It led me to burnout. But then, after all, the Bible says, he who would be greatest among you, let him be. Then there's a variation on this theme, probably a variation on the theme that strikes closer to home for all of us, and it goes something like this: I'd better be careful, or I'm going to burn out. I'm working on an SPM, I'm trying to complete it in 6 weeks, and on top of all of that, I am serving in my congregation, accepting vacancy assignments all over, but I'm doing it because I am devoted to my Lord and to the work of the church. After all, he who is to be greatest, let him be as a servant. But I better watch out because I'm a candidate for burnout. The nice thing about that variation on the theme is that it lets you collect all the sympathy of your brother clergyman, and perhaps even some ears and eyes from the laity, and yet you don't reach the position of actually burning out. Jesus says in today's gospel, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Jesus' prohibition is not directed specifically at kings. After all, when Israel wanted a king, when Israel wanted to exchange the theocracy for a monarchy, God let them have their wish, even though it was an insult to them. Jesus' prohibition in today's gospel is not directed against kings per se, but it is directed against anybody in the church who exalts himself among the brethren. And although 2 millennia have passed since these words were written, we still have a great temptation among us to exalt ourselves above our fellow saints. And this ecclesiastical merit badge of burnout or potential burnout is a very fine and refined way to exalt ourselves among the brethren. There is rows of dispute about who is the greatest. Jesus says, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, but not so with you. Let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. So who is greater, the one who reclines at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. There is the sweet gospel for today. I am among you as one who serves. To the brethren and the sisters who have borne out, here are the comforting words of the Savior. I am with you as one who serves you. I will restore to you joy in life. I will reinvigorate your desire for the work of the church and the family. I can put your life together again. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And then you will glorify me. And then for those of us who have not turned out, but often are tempted to wear that ecclesiastical merit as a potential burnout because we are serving so greatly in the church, Jesus also says, I am among you as one who serves. And serves well he did. He did not set himself upon a throne and have all the disciples come in an order to wash his feet, but rather he gave it himself and got down and washed their dirty feet. He did not serve by having legions of angels come to defend him when he was ready to suffer for our sins, but rather he walked the way of sorrows alone, so that he might serve up to you life eternal now and in heaven. He did not jump off of the cross when the scoffers invited him to do so, but rather he served you. He hung in there and endured the suffering of hell, so that you and I might have forgiveness for all those times when we are tempted to puff out ourselves and say, I thank you, Lord, that I am such a great servant in the church. He is the great example of one who serves, and you and I are the beneficiaries of that great service. I am among you as one who serves, and as one who serves you here and now. I am among you. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, you may be sure that one of the two or three is going to want to complain about all the work he's been doing for the church lately. And he says, when that happens, you two or three, I am there. I am there to charge you with my word of wrath, but even more, I am in the midst of you to bring you the sweet forgiveness of the gospel. I am in the midst of you to serve you with that wonderful announcement that your sins are forgiven. I am in the midst of you to tell you that all your services is a filthy rag, but I accept what you are because of my death on the cross. I am among you with my word to direct your service in the years ahead. And when you genuinely worry about burning out because the church or the seminary has laid so many duties upon you, I am among you as one who serves. I will comfort you. I will hear your prayers for help. So it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. So I give to my beloved sleep. I am among you as one who serves. You and I, in our service in the church, want to copy that wonderful self-effacing service of the Savior. A very beautiful passage which talks about the way you and I are to serve comes from the Savior's lips in the 17th chapter of St. Luke. But which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? He does not thank the slave because he did the things that were commanded, does he? So is he too. When you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. The true model for self-effacing service in the church. When we leave the which chapel is what these aisles, those two chairs in the back that have been rigged up, not today, but they are sometimes rigged up against concrete tables for the worship supplement or the other services time. I didn't say that very eloquently, but you know what I mean. I would invite you today, when you walk past that chair, to figuratively and in your mind, to lay down your ecclesiastical merit badge of burnout or potential burnout. And as you leave the chapel, take with you the Savior. The Savior who serves you as no one can serve you. And the Savior who gives to you the model of self-effacing, humble service in the church. The peace of God is past all understanding.